Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time now. Pray for Deborah as she shares with us. I pray, Lord, you'd free her up to be able to share what's on your heart. But Lord, I pray for us too, that we might listen to what you're having to say to us this morning and take it on board and live it out in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. For anybody who doesn't know, who haven't met, I'm Deborah. I'm married to Ed. As we've already heard, we are, this is our fifth and final week of our This Time Tomorrow series, thinking about how our work, whatever that looks like, is important to God. And we've heard over the last 4 weeks how our work, whether that's paid employment or voluntary work or working, looking after our families, all has intrinsic value in itself. That our work can be worship, thank you, can be worship to God. We can bring in God's values, his kingdom's values into our workplace. And each of us has been designed by God to play our part in this world. And we can read in the Bible countless examples of people like Joseph or Esther or Daniel, all serving God faithfully and consistently in their workplace. Their work was of significance in itself. But there's one more aspect to their work and to our work that I want to speak about this morning. So Joseph, Esther, and Daniel were also ready to take opportunities to share about a God who loves the world to the people around them. It says in 1 Peter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So as we finish our series, we're going to be thinking about how we can be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus, and how we can be equipped to make disciples on our front lines, those places or times where we fairly regularly meet people who don't yet know Jesus, who don't know or don't follow Jesus. And how we can partner with God to create and take opportunities to talk about Jesus, to talk about our faith in him. Of course, it's not the sole reason that we work. It's not even the main reason that we work. But our work does offer us an opportunity to share about Jesus. And we don't want to miss out on that. We don't want to miss taking those opportunities. A couple of weeks ago, Ed and Toby were in Manchester, and they called in on my aunt and uncle, and they were offered something to drink, and Ed accepted a glass of Vimto because he has been trained in the ways of the North. You know, where I grew up, we don't drink apple and blackcurrant squash. We don't drink Ribena. Vimto is the soft, fruity drink of choice in my hometown. And when he was handed the drink of Vimto by my aunt and uncle, they just happened to mention that they don't actually drink Vimto. They only keep it in the house for the window cleaner. Okay, and I was intrigued by this detail that Ed relayed to me, so I gave them a call to find out more. You see, my aunt and uncle love Jesus, and they know that Jesus loves their window cleaner, so they also love their window cleaner, and they know their window cleaner loves Vimto, and they want to bless him, so they offer him a glass of Vimto and a piece of toast whenever he comes around to clean their windows, and they chat to him. They chat about his family, because that's what you do when you love someone. You take interest in the things that are of importance to them. And because they know that Jesus cares about the window cleaner. They pray for him. And because they know that Jesus loves the window cleaner so much that he was willing to die for him, then they're always ready to talk to him about Jesus. Now, they don't do it for heavenly brownie points. They don't do it because they feel like it's their job to do it. They do it because of love. Love for Jesus and love for each person in the world. It says in Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'm sure most of you here probably know Jesus and love Jesus. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, or you don't think that you love him, then you're in a really great place. You're in the best place to find out more about him. You're really welcome here. We're delighted that you are here. But for those of us who do know and love Jesus, and are motivated by his love for the world around us, then we want to, and you probably want to let others know about Jesus too. We want to tell people about Jesus, but even though we want to, it doesn't mean that it can sometimes be difficult to share our faith. Mark Green, the author of the Fruitfulness on the Frontline series, says this about sharing our faith. It says, it's like a trip to the dentist. We know most of us are meant to go, and when we get there, we're meant to open our mouths, but we are rather afraid that when we do, extremely unpleasant and painful things will happen to us. Can anyone relate? Maybe. I think a lot of us, maybe all of us, can feel like this some way about sharing our faith. But I think there are a few things that's really helpful for us to remember, to make it a little less scary, a little less feel like this. Firstly, we need to remember that God wants people to know him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God so loved the world he gave. God wants every person you care about to know him even more than you want them to. We don't need to twist God's arm or force anything to happen with that person. God wants them to know him. So secondly, God takes the lead. It's not us. It's not all on us. He's the one who leads people to him. Not you, not me. And he's already at work in their lives. Whether we see it or not, whether they recognize it or not, God is at work in their lives. So that's two things to remember. And the final thing is God is God loves them and wants them to know him even more than we do. He is already at work. We don't need to twist his arm. He's working, and he's the one who takes the lead. But we still have a role to play, however small that might be. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that people can come to faith in Jesus. But God still wants to partner with us in talking to them in that process. It's a real privilege. It's a real privilege. So those are three things to really remember that when we're thinking about sharing our faith. But there are also, I think, some basic steps that we can take along the way. There's not a system to follow, not a magic formula to use. We're not trying to manipulate anyone, but there's just some helpful actions that we can take so that we can live more intentionally as followers of Jesus. They're pretty obvious. They're not going to be new, but I think it's still really helpful to be reminded of them this morning. First one, pray. See, I told you they'd be obvious. First and probably the most important thing is we pray. We pray for people. We're all called to be intercessors. You know, that's a churchy word to describe people who stand in the gap between God and people and ask him to act in their lives. When we pray to God for our colleagues, our neighbours, our family members, the people we meet on the dog walk, we already know he cares for them and he's longing to invite them into his family. But he chooses to invite us into that process, and praying is part of that process. You know, you can hear stories of people coming to faith and being stirred to pray for every person on their front line. And it can be, you know, it can be really inspiring for us and people. And we want to join in with that. We want to do that. But it can actually be quite overwhelming to think, oh, gosh, well, you know, do I pray for this person in my workplace and this person who I meet on the street and this person? And we can often feel just overwhelmed by that. I don't know whether if you're an extrovert, maybe you're really good at that and you can cope with that. But I'm an introvert and I get overwhelmed by that. It feels unsustainable. So asking God, praying to God to place on our hearts just one or two people who we can consistently be praying for is really helpful. So we're praying, but we're also listening to him of what he's saying, who it is that he's really wanting us to be get alongside. So we're just going to do that now. We're just going to take a moment. We're going to take a moment and ask God to do that for us now. We're going to ask him to bring to mind someone who we can be praying for regularly. So let's just close our eyes. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to be quiet for a moment and just listen to God. Lord, is there anyone in my life who you want me to be helping to make their way to you? Hopefully, someone's come to your mind now. Praying for God to tell us who, you know, give us somebody to be praying for and to ready to commit into is important. But also praying for God to give us the love for that person is also really important. You know, God might have brought someone to your mind who you find really hard to love. You might have dismissed that thought and said, God, give me someone else. God can give us a supernatural love for them. And even if they're the easiest person in the world to care about, to love, we'll be so much more effective in our loving of them when we're regularly praying for them and asking God to show us his love for them and to catch us some of that love that he's got. You know, when we're praying for them, God does things like prompt us to keep Vimto in our house just to serve them. Knowing Naomi Clark is not here today. I'm pointing to around here on the stage because she often is somewhere in the band. Naomi isn't here today, but she, I know, is someone who regularly prays for her work colleagues. She's always wanting to bless her work colleagues. So I asked her about her experience of praying and caring and sharing in her workplace. And she was telling me that she tried to make sure that she's always encouraging and affirming in all that she does and whenever she's in the workplace, especially to those people who get overlooked in the hospital, like porters or cleaners or store people. She just makes sure that she looks out for those people. And she says that she uses her gifts. I know she uses her baking gifts a lot and her sewing gifts to bless her colleagues. She writes cards to her workmates who need encouraging. And of course, she also works really hard to make sure that she does her job really well, to honour the people around her and bring glory to God. So we've already listened to God for, you know, just somebody who we can be regularly praying for. Why don't we just listen again? Just going to pause again. Just ask him to show us how we can care for that person as well. Maybe even something this week, something today, some little action we can do to care for that person. So, Lord, will you show us? Will you explain? Will you show us how you want us to care for that, for the people you've put on our minds? Great. So we've had pray, we've had care, and making it clear we're a follower of Jesus can sometimes be a big hurdle. We can pray for them, we can care for them, but actually sharing that we follow Jesus can be a real hurdle. If we're meeting someone for the first time, how soon do you tell them that you're a Christian? You know, how do you crowbar that in that conversation? You don't want them to think you're weird, or but if you've known somebody for a long time, then it's even more awkward to let them know that you're a Christian as well. You know, it can just feel like a bit of a dilemma. I was asking Chloe about her experience of sharing faith, and particularly on her front line with the people that she knows in a workplace and her friends as well. And she was saying that she finds it really helpful. If you're not sure what, you know, where people are at, or how to sort of broach the subject of your faith, then asking them what they did at the weekend can really help, because then they ask you back, what did you do at the weekend? And you can say, I went to church. And then you can, you know, start a conversation like that. But then we need to be prepared, as we've heard earlier, we need to be prepared at that point to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know, that might look like being ready to share about a particular answer to prayer that you've received that really strengthened your faith. You know, prayer and answers to prayer can be a real sort of faith-filling thing, can't it? Maybe being prepared to tell them what God's doing in your life right now. Maybe what fruit of his spirit that you're needing him to work on and develop in you. Perhaps getting used to sharing about what you've read in the Bible in the morning. So you could read the Bible in the morning. Then you could just take a second just to think, how would I explain that to somebody else who I might meet today? Maybe getting ready to share your testimony about how you came to faith in Jesus and the difference you feel he makes in your life. That's a really good way to be prepared to give an answer. I think another thing is we can also be prepared to offer to pray for someone. I don't know about you, but when people share with me the challenges that they've got in their life, the hard things, you know, something in me wants to make it better. I want to help, but often I can't do anything. But I know I have a God who can. And so offering to pray for someone, offering to pray either there and then, or saying that you're going to go away and pray, is a really natural response for us and sometimes it can be a really brilliant opportunity to sort of have those conversations of faith and seeing what God wants to do. My aunt and uncle's window cleaner has said that he doesn't believe in God. But when he narrowly avoided an accident while he was on holiday, when he got back, he said, "That's because you prayed for me." You know, there's something there, isn't there? My friend, she started praying for the daughter of a colleague in her workplace. And the daughter was having a terrible time at school. And she knew what that was like because her son was having a terrible time at school too. So she started praying for her, and she started praying for the daughter. And she wrote her cards to say that she was praying and encouragements. And she took opportunities, you know, at the end of the workday to just pray there and then. And things started to happen. Phone calls that she'd been waiting months and months to receive started to come in. And there was breakthrough after breakthrough in her daughter's situation. And so one day they were chatting about this. And my friend mentioned about the Alpha course that was coming up. And she asked whether she invited her friend along. So, would you like to find out more about faith? And she said, yes, I'd love to find out more about faith because this prayer thing seems to be working. And I want to know a bit more of why or what's going on. So she came on the Alpha course with another two colleagues as well. And she did the whole course, and she found faith in Jesus. And she's been consistently going along to my friend's midweek small group, but Bible study group since then. And then there's also been a ripple effect in her workplace. And so they're now all praying for some more of their colleagues to come along to the next Alpha course. And this brings us to my last point, the fourth step that we can take when we want to share our faith, and that is offer paths forward. And two of the main ways that the Lord chooses to draw people towards him is through people. And it's through his word. And if you've been in Highgrove longer than for 5 minutes, you'll have heard that the Alpha course is brilliant. And it's a brilliant step for anybody wanting to find out more about faith. We'll be running another Alpha course in January. But in the meantime, there's actually one in our sister congregation, our Woodland Central building. It starts this Wednesday. It's not too late to invite people for this Wednesday evening. But someone in our lives might, you know, season of life, they might not be available to go out in an evening to an Alpha course. If you've if you know some women who are available during the day, then Soul Space is a great opportunity to invite people along to find out more about faith. But maybe that's not possible either. Maybe but we could hand them a Bible. We could give them a Bible. We could offer to read the Bible with them and look and study it together in some way. There's always a path forward, and God knows what that path is. It's not something we have to manufacture. We don't have to think, oh gosh, they can't go on the Alpha course, that's the end of everything. God knows, and God can work in whatever ways he meets people where they're at. So as I finish, just to recap, if we want to partner with God in seeing the people on our front line move towards Jesus, then first and foremost, we pray. Secondly, we care. Thirdly, we share the truth. And finally, we offer pathways forward. It's not a formula, as I've said, but just some steps to help us live more intentionally. And Agape, the global mission organization, have a wonderful definition of being a successful witness of Jesus. This is what success looks like: taking the initiative to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. It's not on us whether someone comes to faith or not, but we can partner with God. It's God's business, but we can also be involved in the process. It's him, it's him, and it's his time, but we can be involved and we can do our bit. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for all the people in our lives who have shared the gospel with us. And Lord, we lift up those people who you've put on our minds this morning. We lift them up to you. We thank you that you know them. You love them. You know what's going on in their lives. And you've put us in their lives for a purpose. And Lord, we want to partner with you in praying for them, in caring for them, in sharing the truth for them when we have opportunities, and for even to offering pathways forward for them to find out more. So Lord, we commit them to you. We say that you're God and we're not, and you're in charge, we're not, but we want to be involved. So to use us how you want us to be used. And will you do the rest of the work? We trust unto you now. In Jesus' name, amen.